Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 72 to close at 19,732. S&P 500 down 8 at 2,263. NASDAQ Composite down 15 at 5,540. Russell 2000 Small and Mid-Caps down 12 at 1,345. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 7 basis points at 2.46%. Oil up 33 cents at $51.41 per barrel. Gold up 50 cents at $1,204.50 per ounce. Dow Industrial Average erased its gains for 2017 as it fell for the fifth day in a row. Russell 2000 also turned negative year to date. The European Central Bank left its quantitative easing program unchanged at 60 billion euro per month. Policymakers also kept the main refinancing rate at zero and the deposit rate at minus 0.4%. There is little sign that the governing council is ready to endorse more hawkish language just yet, even after a jump in inflation to 1.7% in Germany. The U.S. dollar rose against its major rivals, recovering off earlier weakness after ECB President Mario Draghi said he didn't see any convincing pickup in Eurozone inflation. The ECB's renewed commitment to stimulus comes a day after Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said the American economy is strong enough to warrant higher interest rates. President-elect Trump's pick for Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin began his confirmation process today. Meanwhile, Energy Secretary-designate Rick Perry also went before lawmakers. Trump has chosen former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue to lead the Department of Agriculture, rounding out the president-elect's cabinet selections. The Senate has not scheduled a single confirmation vote for Trump's cabinet. Yesterday, Defense Secretary-designate General James Mattis became the first nominee to win approval at the committee level. Senate Republicans still hope to confirm members of Trump's national security team on Friday, and the likeliest to receive votes are Mattis, retired General John Kelly as Homeland Security Secretary, and Representative Mike Pompeo as CIA Director. Elaine Chao, the nominee for Transportation Secretary, could also win Senate approval tomorrow. So could Ben Carson or possibly Jeff Sessions, though those might wait past a Friday vote. None of the five have generated significant opposition from Democrats, and all of them more or less sailed through their confirmation hearings last week. Trump may have more luck with the Senate than his immediate predecessors, and he has the Democrats to thank. When they held the majority in 2013, they changed the rules so that executive branch nominations are no longer subject to the 60-vote threshold for filibusters. That means Trump could conceivably win Senate approval of his entire cabinet without a single Democratic vote. In rally after rally, speech upon speech, Donald Trump built a verbal skyscraper of campaign promises about what he would do on his first day in the White House. Begin building a wall at the nation's southern border. End the war on coal. Label China a currency manipulator. The list went on and on. Tomorrow is day one. During a break in inauguration festivities, Trump is poised to wield one of the most powerful tools of his office, the presidential pen, for executive actions that can be implemented without the input of Congress. Trump's advisors vetted more than 200 potential executive orders for him to consider signing on health care, climate policy, immigration, energy, and numerous other issues. But it is still not clear how many orders he will initially approve. The number of workers being laid off each week has plunged again back to more than a 40-year low. Initial jobless claims sank by 15,000 to 234,000 for the week ended January 14th, just a hair above the post-recession low. Initial claims have been under 300,000 for 98 straight weeks. That's a streak that was last replicated in 1970 and one that shows no sign of ending. Arizona's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate decreased 0.2 percentage point from 5% in November to 4.8% in December. The U.S. unemployment rate stands at 4.7% in December. A year ago, Arizona's unemployment rate was 5.9%. The U.S. rate was at 5%. Arizona gained 6,300 jobs in December. Breaking that down, 10,900 new jobs in the private sector minus 4,600 job cuts from government. Arizona employment grew by 1.2% or 32,000 jobs for the year. The private sector accounted for some 33,100 jobs. Government employment declined by 1,100 jobs. The sectors with the largest gains included education and health services, 14,300 jobs, leisure and hospitality, 10,300 jobs, and construction, 6,300. Builders broke ground on more homes in December as confidence in the economy and demand for properties stays strong. Housing starts ran at a seasonally adjusted annual pace of 1.23 million in December. That's 11.3% higher than in November, but about flat compared to the year-ago rate. The Federal Control Board overseeing Puerto Rico's finances might accept a revised fiscal plan by February 28th and extend a debt moratorium until May 1st, which would give the U.S. territory more time to negotiate restructuring deals. Both requests will be taken up later this month, but would be conditioned on the Puerto Rican government agreeing to turn over more financial information and not taking on extra liquidity loans. A court in South Korea turned down prosecutors' request to arrest Samsung's J.Y. Lee on alleged bribery, perjury, and embezzlement, letting him stay in place atop the country's most powerful company while they continue their investigation. The de facto head of the Samsung Group and vice chairman of Samsung Electronics is being investigated for allegedly providing tens of millions of dollars to benefit a close friend of South Korean President Park Geun-hye in exchange for approval of a merger between two Samsung affiliates. The deal helped Lee consolidate control over the sprawling conglomerate founded by his grandfather. Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Teori Zavascki was killed in a plane crash today. Zavascki was overseeing a massive corruption investigation related to the state oil company Petrobras. Dozens of politicians and some of Brazil's wealthiest businessmen have been arrested as part of the inquiry known as Operation Car Wash over the past 2 years. The political crisis triggered by the Petrobras investigation eventually led to the impeachment of President Dilma Rousseff in September on unrelated charges. The U.S. Justice Department has announced a $5.28 billion settlement with Swiss banking giant Credit Suisse for misleading investors in residential mortgage-backed securities it sold in the run-up to the 2008 financial crisis. Credit Suisse will pay $2.48 billion cash penalty and provide $2.8 billion in consumer relief, including loan forgiveness and financing for affordable housing. Credit Suisse has admitted that between 2005 and 2007, it knowingly deceived investors in the sale of complex securities derived from residential mortgages. Credit Suisse employees knowingly packaged poor quality loans for sale, referring to them in some instances as utter complete garbage and complete crap. Goldman Sachs, considering moving 1,000 workers in its London offices to Frankfurt because of concerns over Britain's vote to leave the EU. Yesterday, UBS said that about 1,000 of the bank's 5,000 employees based in London may be affected by Brexit, while HSBC announced it could relocate 1,000 staff to Paris. American Express reports quarterly profit fell 8.2% to $825 million or 88 cents per share. That's down from 89 cents per share a year earlier. Total revenue fell to $8 billion from $8.3 billion last year. IBM forecast full-year earnings above Wall Street estimates and reported better-than-expected quarterly revenue, helped by growth in newer areas such as cloud-based services and analytics. Still, IBM's revenues declined for the 19th straight quarter. We've often heard that we should be smart consumers when it comes to healthcare. We should shop for the best prices on things like medicine. So, here's a test. Suppose your family needs the EpiPen for emergency allergy treatments. Mylan makes EpiPen, but they raise the price more than 550% to $609 list price for a two-pack of the life-saving treatments. That prompted a hearing in Congress last September. In response, Mylan began selling an authorized generic for about $300 for a two-pack. Last week, CVS Health Corp. said it would sell a twin pack of the Adrenaclick auto-injector from Impax Laboratories for $110 and offer a $100 discount for low-income families. And today, privately held Kaleo, the maker of the AviQ injectors, said it would list a twin pack for $4,500. But there's a twist. Kaleo, AviQ's manufacturer, will charge patients who have commercial insurance zero for the product, whether or not the insurance company pays for it. That means that for insured patients, AviQ would be the cheapest option. It will also give the product away to families with an income of less than $100,000. For those paying cash who do not qualify to get AviQ for free, the product will cost $360. And if all this sounds like a big pricing scam concocted in the laboratories of Drs. Jekyll and Moreau, well, that is a possibility. Paul McCartney has sued Sony's music publishing division, seeking a judgment validating his efforts to take back his copyrights in Beatles songs he mostly co-wrote with John Lennon. McCartney began serving termination notices to Sony Publishing in 2008, intending to reclaim his copyright interest in the music catalog composed between 1962 and 71. The termination notices, which McCartney wants the court to validate, are supposed to take effect October 2018. Dow Industrial's down 72 at 19,732. S&P 500 down 8 at 2263. NASDAQ down 15 at 5,540. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog is eatthebankers.com.